from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. But I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on.
Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network. Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. who use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench. Well, well, welcome to the shooting bench. I hope everybody had a good weekend. It's Monday, 18th of January. A lot of stuff going on. Things are changing just as cotton picking fast as we can change screens here. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Just while I'm on the subject here, there will not be a live Liberty Lounge this week. And oh, yeah. Who am I supposed to sing to?
Maria.
What am I singing to her about?
It's her birthday.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, sorry, Maria. I'm not going to be here to sing for your birthday. So maybe catch me next year. We'll see what happens. Nope, I have something important I need to go do. I can't tell you what it is, but that is the reason that I'm posting that in there. It has become increasingly important. We have a job to do, so won't be here Friday. Sorry about that. We will be here. I will be here Thursday, but Friday we'll have an archive of the Liberty Lounge on for you. If I have time, maybe I'll make you a fresh one and have a pre-record for you. But either way, you'll have something up there, something to dance by. All right, let's move right on into it here. There was a short period of time there when I thought that Ted Cruz might be worth taking a look at, but he's pretty well peed in his post-toasties now, and as far as I'm concerned, he's done. He flip-flops. Apparently, he's just a statist like most of them. Would he be better than some of the rest of them? Absolutely. I don't think there's any question to be better than a lot of them. But he's now decided that Edward Snowden is a traitor and should be tried for treason. So he lost me completely right now. There's nothing he could say or do. If he has ever thought that in his mind, there's nothing he could say or do to bring me back. So it looks like Trump's the clear winner as far as I'm concerned. But we'll see what happens if anything changes between now and election time, but nothing's going to change for Ted Cruz. He's done. Ben Carson's done. When he said there's going to be all for supporting mandatory vaccinations, so that wiped him out. And he also didn't think that people in cities should have assault-style rifles, meaning just about anything that's a semi-automatic rifleman. So he's through. He's all washed up, and most of the rest of them are nothing but puppets. And so I'm done with all of them. So far, looks to me like Trump's going to be the one. So I see a lot of discussion here, and I haven't checked on it yet. I see a lot of discussion in the chat room about TB and whether or not dogs could get tuberculosis. That's a little concerning. It makes you scratch your head and wonder, you know, just what all we got facing us here in the future. I will say, though, and I say this anytime something like this comes up, I'll say again, and then no telling how many more times I'll say it, but I think that those of us that have colloidal silver in us, those of us that have silver in our bodies, we'll have a much better chance of surviving a biological attack than the rest of us. By having that, I think that it will defeat just about everything in there out there. It may have to We may have to take larger amounts. We may have to inject it. We may have to do it more frequently. But I think it'll kill virtually everything out there. So we'll see. Looks like Trump said something about Snowden too. I'll have to look at that later and see what it says. But okay, let's see here. Let's move right along. Let's check. Oh, right here in Arizona. This is a good thing. Arizona's made a couple of mistakes here very recently. But best I can tell, this is not going to be one of them. It looks like 33,000 people in Arizona are about to lose food stamps. Now, considering 21,000 of them is going to be in Maricopa County alone. That's down around the Phoenix area. So that's going to happen by April 1st. So I'd say that if you're on food stamps and you're around Phoenix, then probably you should consider going and getting a job or cutting way back on the amount of food that you eat, because they're fixing to cut them out. It says the change is due to Arizona's improving employment rate, which ended the ability of certain adults to collect food stamps through the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. As of January 1st, a three-month clock started on the eligibility of able-bodied adults without dependents to get food stamps. Outstanding. The thinking is, with an improving economy, people should be able to find work and end their reliance on government support. Well, how about that? But human services groups, you know, there when it says but, you know good and well something's fixing to happen here. Human services groups, from food banks to homeless advocates to the Valley of the Sun United Way, are concerned with the pending cutoff date. Well, there's a typo here, so I have no earthly idea what they mean. But they're concerned about the pending cutoff date won't reach some beneficiaries, some of whom change homes frequently or are homeless. That means they would only learn of the loss of benefits when they go to the grocery store in April. Human services professionals, you know, that's horse poop. You've got this out there and available for 3 months prior to this happening. During that 3 months, you're going to go, somehow you're going to talk to people, you're going to turn in a report, you're going to do an interview, you're going to do something with the people that are feeding you. And those people in that 3 month time, whether they've moved or not, doesn't matter, they're still going to eat. So they're going to go see somebody that works for the government at some point and say, hey, it's grocery time again, give me my stamps. And they'll say, okay, here you go. Here's what you usually get. But just understand that April 1st, that's going to be the end of them. I'm quite certain somebody's going to tell them. I'm quite certain that there are posters in some of those places in that area down there letting people know that their food stamps are going to run out. So that's, oh well. All right. To head that off, the groups will be working to find beneficiaries and get them enrolled in a training program, work, or a volunteer capacity that would allow the food stamps to continue. As long as a person works 80 hours a month, the individual can continue to receive food stamps. Okay, I wouldn't be, now depending, certainly they're hopefully not going to get the full ration of food stamps. 80 hours a month, 20 hours a week. That's maybe a little help with that. I would put a limit on that too. If you can't do something in somewhere between 90 days and 6 months, then you're done completely. Sorry, that just makes sense to me. Anyway, it goes on to talk about woe is me, but anyway, we won't worry about that too much. Let's see here. I want to take these in some semblance of order because there's There's quite a few gun things coming up here. I think we discussed this. No, we didn't discuss this. This was a Washington State now. A Democrat there, of course, has introduced a bill to ban all assault rifles. In addition to pistols that accept detachable magazines, HB 2354 defines an assault weapon as a semi-automatic rifle that has capacity to accept a 27 detachable magazine and has one or more of the following. And it's about the same stuff as the old assault weapons ban. Also includes semi-automatic pistols that accept detachable magazines. So they're going to be down to revolvers in Washington if this goes through. Bill also covers some shotguns, semi-automatic shotguns with a pistol grip or a thumb hole stock. Any feature capable of functioning as a protruding grip that can be held by the non-trigger hand. A folding or telescoping stock, a fixed magazine capacity in excess of 5 rounds, or an ability to accept a detachable magazine. A revolving cylinder or a conversion kit part or a conversion combination of parts from which an assault weapon can be assembled if those parts are in the possession or under control of the same person. So if you have a Mossberg 590, wait a minute, this says pistol grip, any function. No, never mind. This is semi-automatic shotguns only. It's not even nothing to do with pumps. So, all right. Well, there you have it. Her assault weapons ban, or Mueller's assault weapon ban, was introduced on the same day that Democrat state representatives in Georgia introduced an assault weapons confiscation bill. We talked about that on here, I know. In their state. Taken together, both bills came less than a week after Obama went around Congress with his little executive order stuff. So, fun. They're pushing it more and more on us. Okay, I'm narrowing these down a little bit at a time. Let me check here real quick. Yeah, I'm not sure, Mini Men Pen. You said you think food stamps is nationwide. I think it is nationwide, but I think states still have the ability to regulate what individuals get, depending on their amount of work that they do and amount of people in their family and whatnot. I think it is a national program. I'm not positive, though. And I'm not entirely vehemently opposed to food stamps in some instances. When you have a single mom or a young family that's been, laid off, lost their job, their house destroyed by a tornado, something like that, they have nothing. I'm not opposed to them getting a little bit of help at all. I am opposed to them taking advantage of it, and there should be set absolute limits on their whatever is decided upon, so that they know that if something hasn't happened by a given amount of time, that it's a done deal. So you're going to have to wind up stealing dogs and cats off the neighbor's porch if you intend to feed your kids. But anyway, let's see here. Yeah, Minnie, I'll look at that story, too. It's from 2013. I'll have to check and see what all has happened. I know that every candidate out there has changed their mind at some point, just like Reagan used to be a Democrat. But we'll see what comes up when it comes election time here. But that's not the only thing Cruz has done, either. There's been several other things that tick me off here. Let's see, what can we do over time to get NFA repealed? Well, I'll tell you, I think that what's going on in Oregon right now is a good lesson for the rest of us. What's going on in Oregon is a very strict non-compliance type event here. And on top of that, they have taken over federally owned buildings. That has been confirmed now. And they're finding now, I haven't read the whole story yet, I just saw it just before I went on the air, where they found some cameras up there. And I'm not sure whether they were at the compound, but some of them were on the roads outside, cameras hidden in boxes there. And they are disabling those cameras. So what's going to have to happen to get NFA repealed is that every gun owner out there, or at least a significant amount of them, are going to have to understand and come to the same realization that people in Oregon are coming to. And I've got a lot more about that I can't tell you tonight, but I'll be able to here in the very near future, next few days, week or so probably. But when they come to this realization that, you know, when there's enough of us do the same thing, you know, they simply cannot arrest everybody. When you get one guy out there that saws a shotgun off a half inch too short and winds up getting his wife killed and his son and his dog and everything else over it, then he becomes a crackpot and everybody's talking about him like, well, he should have known that. It's against the law. Well, if we want to get NFA repealed, then, you know, about, you know, I don't know how many, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 20 million of us are going to have to saw off a shotgun a little under length and say, I'm comfortable with it at this length. This is the way I want it. There's going to have to be a mass civil disobedience effort there. I don't think we're ever going to do it. Now, I won't say ever. I think it's incredibly unlikely that it's ever going to happen. But with the right president and the right Congress and enough push by gun owners, there is a slim possibility that it could be done the easy way. But I just don't see it happening anytime real soon. And I'm just convinced that we just don't have a long time to be worrying about stuff like that. We're just going to have to deal with what we got here for however long it takes. But I think that, we'll have to keep saying it over and over, I guess. But I think that this year may be a very significant year in history. So we'll see what happens. National Conversion Day. Okay, that sounds good. Yep. Viking, just go ahead and get started on that. We'll back you up 100%. Let's get us a National Conversion Day going and see what happens. And we'll do that in memory of Vicki Weaver. Okay. All right, let's take a little break here and we'll come back.
I rode your ocean liner to Newfoundland, where I made a living in an iron mine. When I got my fill, I went to Nova Scotia, and I fished them salty waters for a time. Passing through Prince Edward Island and New Brunswick, I could see them rocks and cliffs of solid stone. Listening to the seagulls calling to each other made me miss my darling and my distant home. Canadian Pacific, carry me 3,000 miles through the valleys and the forests to the sunshine of her smile. Cross the plains and rugged mountains, keep this wandering boy from harm. Canadian Pacific, take me to my baby's arms. The Atlantic disappeared on the horizon, and Quebec lay waiting for me down the track. For a while I drove a truck to keep from starving. In Ontario I was a lumberjack. Manitoba and Saskatchewan then followed, where the wheat fields and the old Red River flows. In the quiet hours your whistle on the prairie touched my heart and set my memories aglow. I could feel the nearness of her warm, soft kisses when you rolled into Alberta westward bound. I worked on an oil rig to make some money for a ticket to the sweetest girl around. Pushing on past Lake Louise and all its splendor, where the trees and Rockies touch the sky above. I got to British Columbia and heaven. On your tracks I made it back to my true love. Canadian Pacific carried me 3,000 miles through the valleys and the forest, to the sunshine of her smile. Across the plains and rugged mountains, you kept this wandering boy from harm. Canadian Pacific, you took me to my baby's arms. Canadian Pacific carried me 3,000 miles through the valleys and the
back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
I just hate stupid people. They should have to wear signs and just say, I'm stupid. That way you wouldn't rely on them, would you? You wouldn't ask me anything. Be like, excuse me. Oh, never mind. I didn't see your sign.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Alrighty, let's finish this up here. You know, Viking Smith was absolutely right up there in one regard. As soon as poop hits the fan, they need to understand that every semi-automatic gun out there will be full auto. Well, there's a lot of them. I understand what you're saying there. There's a lot of them that cannot be converted and all that, but I understand what you mean. And farther just under that, Doc says, and I agree 100%, and I've said this many times, that to have, you know, everybody wants a full auto. Everybody wants to go out And they talk about what they're going to do when the poop hits the fan, that they're going to have a, they're going to do this, that, or the other thing to get full auto gun. I can't even express in words how little of a desire I have to have a full auto, fully automatic weapon. To have one to play with, if I could afford the ammo to feed it, they're great. Just to go out there and chew stuff up and watch all the rocks and debris and dust and stuff flying on the hillside, that's just very exhilarating. But it's stupid. It's fun, but it doesn't make any sense. But what'll happen out of all these gun owners out there that, especially the young ones and the ones that had no training and got no sense, that's what they're going to want to do. And so in that regard, Viking Smith is absolutely correct. And so Viking Smith in there, you say, so why is there an infringement on the books? Doc says there's very little, if any, advantage. I think for the most part, there's no advantage to that. Maybe, you know, maybe in some very rare instances, but, so why is there an infringement on the books? Well, because it scares people. Even though to this day, to my knowledge, since these laws have been on the books, I don't think that there has been a violent crime committed with a fully automatic weapon. And I don't think it's because the law is on the book. I just think it's because nobody wants to. I just don't think it's just a desirable thing. Reason that I see for people like us, for the most part, to have a fully automatic would be in rare, in those occasions when we might need just covering fire, just suppressive fire. And but I don't think there's any reason in the world we can't do the same thing and do it just as well with fully automatic. Now, if you want to have a machine guns in helicopters and in sandbag positions and stuff, you know, maybe there's a good use for all that when you're talking about hordes and masses of troops coming at you, then yeah, that's probably a good use for it. But for the most part, for us, I just don't really see a need for it. I think that for suppressive fire, that you can bump it well enough to do that well, or just, you know, if you've got a relatively nimble fingers, there's really not a whole lot of difference I'm fairly certain that I can shoot an AK without bumping it, semi-automatic, at a faster rate of fire than a Mod Deuce will shoot. So I just don't share the romance for full auto that a lot of people do out there. But now suppressors and all that, I'm all for that. I'm absolutely for short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, suppressors. Yes, sir. I'm a big fan of all of them. But B.B. Brenner, I know what you mean, brother. Can't afford to blink with a single shot. Now, I know just exactly what you mean. All right. Yeah, Yakima Glock, I don't know who said anything about a semi-automatic Mod Deuce, but yeah, you're right. And having a semi-auto Mod Deuce wouldn't be much point. All right. Let's look here at these people that have done a terribly vile and evil thing. Do you ever notice vile and evil have the same letters in them? But this was in Georgia, and it appears that some very heavily armed drug enforcement folks here have seized an entire crop of okra. Yeah. The governor's task force for drug suppression spotted suspicious-looking plants on the man's property. Heavily armed canine unit arrived and discovered that the plants were, in fact, okra plants. The officers eventually apologized and left, but they took some of the suspicious ochre leaves with them for analysis. Really? Georgia State Patrol told WSB-TV in Atlanta that we've not been able to identify it as of yet, but it did have quite a number of characteristics that were similar to a cannabis plant. Oh, shut up. Yeah, it's green. It's absolutely roughly the same color. And that's pretty much where the similarity ends, right there. God, when will this ignorance leave? You know, this is a... I don't know. Never mind. Let's don't even go there. Louisville, Kentucky. Actually, Frankfort, Kentucky, to be more precise. New piece of legislation there is set to be debated on here shortly that would allow people, certain people, to carry weapons inside schools and other public places. This is a House representative there, Tim Moore, sponsors a bill that measure that would loosen restrictions on where concealed deadly weapons permit holders could carry. These are the kind of people who should be have the right to carry a weapon which is already legal and legitimate for them. Currently, unlawful possession of a weapon on school property is a felony that can carry a 5-year prison sentence. Boy, we've come a long ways from the old days, haven't we? Said if passed, the law would allow anyone with a concealed carry permit to carry a weapon at public school or on campus of a public university. Moore calls it an anti-terrorism bill, not a gun bill. It would give a terrorist or a criminal who intends to perpetrate some sort of horror to pause before selecting a location. The bill does not restrict the rights of private property owners to prevent persons from carrying concealed weapons on their property. We've created gun-free zones, and all that we really tell people in these situations is to duck and cover. Well, this next story kind of goes along those same lines. In Tennessee, if a grocery store bans guns on its property, and a black bear or a wild hog or a mountain lion or whatever injures and kills a person, injures or kills, who otherwise might have been carrying except for the law, that gun owner would be allowed to sue the property owner if a newly introduced bill became law. Now, I don't think there's anything currently that would stop them from suing. I think this is a feel-good bill that will just, they'll see it and say, well, hell, I never thought about that. So I think it may have some results, but I don't think there's any, you can sue anybody for anything. I don't think there's anything in the world that would keep, in any state that would keep them, I don't consider that a frivolous lawsuit whatsoever. So, matter of fact, some of my students in Farmington, approached a restaurant that all of us used to go to late at night. It was a great place to eat. And they had a sign up for a while. And some of my students went in there and said, well, here's the deal. We love this place, and we're going to keep coming here. But I'm going to tell you what, if something happens and we have to, and somebody gets hurt up here because we can't protect ourselves, we will own this restaurant. So we'll sue you till you can't see. And oddly enough, the sign came down right away. The guy said, you know, I really hadn't thought about it in that regard. I can see what you mean. And so the sign is gone, and everybody's still eating there, and everybody's still carrying guns in there all the time. So there's... I'm not so sure. I'm not sure what you mean exactly here. As an example, SBRs have very little to recommend them. I'm not sure what that means. I'm a huge fan of short-barreled rifles. I think it's a wonderful thing. Matter of fact, most of mine, or not most of mine, but I'd have at least two that were, 12, 14-inch barrels. if I could, without being the we was looking at a, I mean, a matter of fact, I think I saw somebody put that in there. Yeah, Viking Smith put that in there. Put an article today about, oddly enough, today about 7.62 by 39 barrel lengths. And 23 inches was the optimum on two different kinds of ammo. But if you look down there, the whole thing, and I've got that story. I was planning on talking about it tomorrow night. But it's not in near as much. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll spend some time on this. The barrel length, the reduction in velocity on some calibers is not nearly what it is, what some people think it is. And even if it were, why is that necessarily a bad thing? Velocity is not the, unless you're shooting way out yonder and you're looking for flat shooting cartridge, then the velocity is really not, you know, weight and diameter is more important than velocity. In my mind, there's, you know, penetration and there's that, what's that 22, the SS, supersonic sniper by Calibri, by, Aguila, is a 60 grain bullet that will chamber in a 22 long rifle. The cartridge is nearly all bullet and it's very slow. But that thing will completely, what that guy is, a guy out there that was one of the high-speed, low-drag Ninja Warrior types that had been there and done that. And I think he said it's something like, ungodly, 300 or 400 yards or something like that, that it would penetrate a man completely, in one side and out the other. And 60-grain bullet at that range, he said it was great for closer range sniping and stuff, and be quiet. And so I don't know. This is just like the Ford Chevy 9mm 45 argument is what's better, lighter, higher velocity, or heavier and slower. So we'll have to explore that a little bit tomorrow night. I got these other things I want to do tonight here. So, anyway, this bill is going to allow people to sue property owners for putting up, for making gun-free zones. Bill doesn't define defensible man-made or natural hazards. If we... It says the legislation places responsibility on the business or property owner gun-free area to protect the gun owner from any incidents that occur with any invitees, it says, trespassers and employees found on the property, as well as vicious and wild animals and defensible man-made natural hazards. That's what it doesn't define. A handgun carry permit holder who is injured by any of the aforementioned would be able to file a lawsuit within 2 years of when the event occurred, provided they meet the following requirements. The plaintiff had to be authorized to carry a gun at the time of the incident to start with. The plaintiff was prohibited from carrying a firearm because of the gun-free sign. The property owner was not required to be posted by state or federal law, but was posted by choice of the defendant. That makes perfect sense. That's all very logical right there. I have no problem with that. According to the language of the bill, the right to sue the property owner does not extend to individuals without gun permits. And that makes perfect sense. That is as it should be. If you choose not to carry a gun, you're not going to sue me because you got hurt because you didn't have one. Don't be too stupid. That's just... Now, this is exceedingly disturbing. You know what? I'm going to go check my chat room here and see what's going on here. That's right, Doc, and I'll have to say I'm not a fan of the of short barreled 223s. The biggest reason being, good Lord, those things are loud. Wow. Unbelievable. But, I'm a little more, on the larger caliber there. You know, I'll have to say though, except for the noise, if you're doing a lot of work in buildings and stuff, then a 12, 14 inch AR would be a good choice. Of course, 12, 14 inch AK would be a hell of a lot better choice, but that would take quite a bit of modification to do that. But let's see. Goat Moog, that's a problem. We had the problem with a lot of the we had to open up the gas ports on a lot of the SKSs that we did. We made some what we called our Aztecs, what was the name of that? It was the I don't remember what the heck Aztec stood for now. Something about a tactical entry carbine. Soviet Act tactical entry carbine. Advanced, maybe. Maybe it was an advanced Soviet tactical entry carbine. Whatever it was. Anyway, we took SKSs, shortened the barrels on them, and put collapsible stocks and stuff on them. Made pretty nice little rifles out of them. But we had to drill the gas port out quite a bit to let enough gas through, because they immediately started malfunctioning, and a lot of the Yugoslavian SKSs had functioning problems when we got them, because they were used, lots of them. And that gas switch, that gas valve up there, and the gas piston, the operating rod, no, not the operating rod, just the gas piston and that port and that gas valve were very problematic in some of those Yugoslavian guns. And we wound up fixing oodles and gobs of those things. Almost all of them were easy to fix, though, with a good cleaning of the place where the gas valve was there, and a new gas valve, sometimes a new piston. But pretty easy to fix, not horribly expensive, and got the guns running like new again. Yeah, boy, Yak, there's no doubt in my mind, 7.5 inch AR pistol, no. I have absolutely zero desire to even be on the same property with one when it fires. I don't want to shoot one. I don't want to own one. I don't want to play with it. I don't even want to watch somebody else shoot it. I have no desire whatsoever. 12 inch would be my absolute limit on, if I wanted something, shorter than that, then I'd probably just go with a 9mm or something like that. Okay, well, again, there's not going to be a Liberty Lounge this week. I'm sorry about that, but there's a job that we have to do. If any of you are in a position where you're able to, go to our GoFundMe page or go to PayPal and use the shooting bench at live.com. You do not have to have an account with PayPal to donate from there. But I'll be gone, and I might possibly be back. I'm almost certain I'll be back by Monday. But definitely not Friday. So, and Amy, as long as I'm back, well, Amy will be here. Everything will be back to normal on Monday with any luck at all. So, I'm good. 5 minutes early here, but I've got things to do, places to go, and people to see. And I'm going to get on out of here, and we'll see you guys tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me. Wait a minute. I'm not ready. Now I'm ready.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.